ಶ್ಯಾಮೋಲಬಳಾವ ಗುಂಡನವತೀಂ ತೇಜೋಮಯೀಂ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕೀಂ ಸ್ನಿಗ್ಧಾಪಾಂಗ ವಿಲೋಕಿನೀಂ ಭಗವತೀಂ ಮಂದಸ್ಮಿತ ಶ್ರೀಮುಖೀಂ ವಾತ್ಸಲ್ಯಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಸುಮಧುರಂ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಾಲಾಪಿನೀಂ ಶ್ಯಾಮಾಂಗೀ ಮಧುಸಿಕ್ತಸೂಕ್ತಿಂ ಅಮೃತಾನಂದಾತ್ಮಿಕಾಮೀಶ್ವರೀಂ. So Narada was speaking about, like we saw the first half of the 13th sutra of the third chapter, where Narada was speaking about the qualities which are required in a person in order to overcome or cross over Maya. So that Narada continues in the next few sutra. We'll see the next sutra today, where Narada gives four more qualities. So Narada has already given three qualities as yaha sangam tyajati yo mahanubhavam sevate and nirmamo bhavati. One who renounces sangha in the sense dussanga, yo mahanubhavam sevate, which means satsanga, and then nirmama. Nirmama means aham and mama, not having the notion of I and mine. Such a person will cross over Maya. So he continues that. So he says, Yo vivittasthanam sevate, yo lokabhandam unmulayati, nistraigunyo bhavati, yoga kshemam tyajati. So these are four things. So first Narada says, Yo viviktasthanam sevate. So viviktasthanam sevate means a person who sticks on to himself. So viviktasthan means the place where a lot of people are not there. So one of the easiest way to concentrate or contemplate on Ishvara is trying to be alone. So the more we are with people, the more we'll get attached, the more we will get into worldly thoughts, worldly desires and all. So the best way a person can contemplate on Ishvara is first by getting away from worldly things as much as possible. So being in a quiet, calm, lonely place. So being alone, so that's the meaning here. So that's one. So this is partially external, partially internal. So a person who, an advanced seeker, will be able to internally be calm and quiet even when externally he is in the midst of any problem or any, even when such a person is in a party, the person will be able to focus on Ishvara. So internal, but directly a person cannot get that internal solitude or being in a quiet, lonely, alone place. Therefore externally we have to practice it. So this is just one of the practice which will help us in focusing on Ishvara. So Amma, why do Mahatma say that we have to do Dhyanam? So Dhyanam is when we get rid of all attachment. So that's an internal way, in inner or internally trying to stay away from things, that is Dhyanam. So externally also it helps if we are able to do that. So yo viviktasthanam sevate. This can also be interpreted in a little different way. We can interpret it as a person who doesn't depend on anything else. So who is the person who wants to remain alone, remain in solitude? A person who feels that he doesn't need any person, he doesn't depend on anyone. So wherever dependency is not there, there a person will be able to be in solitude. So here it means that dropping all dependencies, trying to reduce dependency and trying to always focus on Ishvara. That is what is meant here. So yo viviktasthanam sevate. So viviktasthanam, why viviktasthanam? Yo lokabandham unmulayati. A person who lokabandham, bondage towards the world, unmulayati. Unmulanam means trying to pluck off from the root. So unmulayati, a person who plucks off bondage from the world. So if we have to pluck off bondage from the world, initially we have to be in solitude. So this also we can interpret as one is externally trying to stay away from the world as much as possible, trying to interact with the world only as much it is required. So let's say that our boss is very bossy, he has a bad temper. So what would we do? We won't stay away from such a boss. We have to, because we have to work with the boss, so we cannot stay away. But what would we do? We will try to spend as little time as possible with the boss. So that is what is meant here. Loka bandham unmoolayati means not completely getting rid of the world, but trying to stay away from the world as much as possible. So vivikta sthanam sevate solitude, along with solitude or solitude comes through loka bandha unmoolanam, trying to reduce bondage from the world. So reduce bondage from the world is what we already spoke about now as reducing dependency. So what would happen when a person doesn't interact much with the world, or at least external interaction is there, internally a person is always focused on Ishvara, what would happen? It's quite simple. Nistraigunyo bhavati. Such a person will go beyond the three gunas. So gunas, sattva, rajas, tamas. Where do the gunas come from? Gunas come from objects. Objects means they are part of the world, or the world or duality. So wherever duality is there, gunas come in. A person who is focusing on Ishvara, there is no guna there. Such a person goes beyond gunas. So when a person gets away from the world as much as possible, then a person goes beyond gunas. At least temporarily a person goes beyond gunas. And the more and more a person goes beyond gunas, person will be able to focus on Ishvara. So gunas, guna is what is called as maya. Devi hi esha gunamayi mama maya. Maya is gunamayi. Maya is gunam. If gunam is there, that is maya. If maya is there, a person will get deluded into the gunas. So we have to avoid gunas as much as possible, which means staying away from the world as much as possible. Nanyam. There are other ways of doing this as well. Gunas. While speaking about the gunas, Krishna speaks about a state of guna atita, a person who is beyond gunas, which is a state of a bhakta, which is a state of a jnani. So he says, Nanyam gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anupashyati gunebhyascha param veti so madbhavam adigachyati. So how can a person go beyond gunas? A person, a jnani, knows that these gunas are for the body, gunas are for the world. Who am I? I am Ishvara. Internally, like, there is no world, there is no body, nothing is there. I am Ishvara. So if we think that Ishvara alone exists, then a person goes beyond gunas. A person becomes a mere witness to whatever is happening externally. So to all actions, such a person becomes mere witness. So na anyam gunebhya kartaram. So gunas are the karta. I am not doing anything. Gunas are doing. What are gunas? Oh, gunas are part of the world, part of the ego. I am none of those. My mind is always fixed on Ishvara. So sakshi bhavam is when ahankaram is there, when activities in the world are there, at the same time the mind is dwelling in Ishvara. That is initially not possible, not easily possible. Therefore initially trying to avoid worldly activities, trying to avoid wherever gunas are there, wherever maya is there, wherever bondage is there. That is the easiest way initially. So that is what Narada means here. And the more and more a person tries to stay away from the world and go beyond gunas, it will become natural. And the thought of Ishvara, if a person is thinking about Ishvara for 10 hours in a day, then for the next 2 hours he is working, he'll also think about Ishvara there. So that is what generally happens. We think about our parents, we think about our job for 12 hours, 13 hours, 15 hours, and then when we sit for dhyanam, whatever Ishvara will not come, parents will come, friends will come, relatives will come, job will come, everything else will come. That is because we have been contemplating on those for a period of time. So if we have to contemplate on Ishvara, if we have to reverse the process. So if we have to reverse the process, stay away from the world as much as possible. Try to not be in contact with gunas automatically, then Sakshi Bhavam automatically will come. So a person who is beyond gunas for temporarily, a person who is contemplating on Advitiya Satyam, on Ishvara, when he is acting in the world, when he is doing activities, when he is part of the world, still there he will be able to remember Ishvara. So that is what Narada will say in the next chapter as Tadeva Shrunoti, Tadeva Bhasheti, Tadeva Chinteti. A true Bhakta will always speak about Ishvara, see Ishvara, think Ishvara. So go to Amma, like what can Amma tell? Amma will sing bhajans, Amma will talk about Ishvara, Amma will give bliss of Ishvara. So she can't do anything. We can't go to Paramartha and say, Swamiji, can you please speak about the economy or crisis in economy? He can speak, he will just joke and get back to Vedanta. So it's like the tree story. So there was a, sorry, not tree, cow story. So there was a teacher. There was a teacher in school. So let's say third standard or something. There was a teacher who used to teach about the cow. So one year, there was an inspection day. So the inspectors came and then this teacher spoke about the cow. The cow has four legs. The cow gives us milk, which is used for us to drink. The cow is herbivorous. Cow eats grass. And he went on. So the people doing the inspection, they were happy with it. The next year when they came, the teacher started. Today we will speak about the cow. The cow has four legs. It gives milk, which we use. Cow is herbivorous. Cow eats grass. Immediately the inspecting people, they said, okay, stop, like, can't you speak about something else? You are always speaking, and last year also you spoke about cows. So this year at least try to speak about something else. The teacher said, oh, very well, no problem. Now, today we will learn about the tree. The tree has a big bark, and the tree has a lot of leaves, green. And to the bark of the tree, cows are tied. A cow has four legs. And he started again with the cow. So though he was speaking about the tree, he came back again to the cow. So a person whose mind is always abiding on Ishvara, contemplating on Ishvara, he'll be able to speak about Ishvara only, nothing else will come up. So if we read the lives of Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa is the best example. So if we read the life of or the gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, we will find that at any point of time he cannot speak anything else. He can only speak about Ishvara. He cannot speak about anything else. For whatever he speaks, Ishvara will be there. So that is what should happen. What is happening now is the exact opposite. We are able to remember in everything other than Ishvara. So while doing dhyanam, or while going for retreats, while spending time, while listening to Narada Bhakti Sutra, our mind is going, oh, what should I cook now? Oh, is my voice audible? Oh, this person, like, I think the sound, the voice of Hariram is not audible. I think his mood is not proper. I think, like, the weather is going to be bad tomorrow. So that is what we think, because that is what we are used to. So it has to be reversed. It has to be reversed. There is no other option. So that is where, that is how a person realizes. Realization cannot happen if we spend 10 hours in the world and the rest 2 hours, two petty hours. Okay, petty is a bad word, but yes, 2 petty hours for Ishvara, then we cannot realize. It has to be the exact opposite. So Gautama Ananda used to tell, we generally spend 16 hours, 18 hours in the world and then like 1 hour for Ishvara. It should be the opposite. We should stay away from the world as much as possible and 16 hours in Ishvara Chinta and 1 hour for the world, but we are doing exactly the opposite. Unfortunately, we don't have any option. Many of us don't have any option. We want to earn money. Even if we have money, we want to earn money for others. We want to give to others. We are so dhana shiram, we are hridayam is vishalam, that like we have a lot of attachments. We have to take care of things. We have responsibilities. We want to do that. Therefore, we cannot stay away from the world for one reason or the other reason. So all those people, like, they should remember that if that is how we want, if we cannot get away from the world, then that's it. Ishvara will cannot come to us. We have to go to Ishvara. He doesn't need us. Ishvara is all pervasive. He is blissful. He doesn't need bliss. He doesn't need bliss by coming to us and giving us. And the current days when Mahatmas like Amma and others are coming to people and giving, but still we say, oh wait a minute, like, I think I'll let it pass. I have a lot of things to do, so can you please get out? We'll say in good words, we'll say, oh, I think I'm getting a call now, so can you like come back tomorrow? Oh, okay, fine. Tomorrow? Oh, well, I think we can come back after 1 week. I'm a bit busy now. I have to do a lot of activities. Like, I've been growing beard for 1 week. I have to shave, so it will take time. So, come back after 1 week. Come back after 1 month. So, that is what we do. So, that will not help us at all. So, we have to remember that that has to be reversed. We have to stay away from the world as much as possible. Oh, what about your words of, oh, do whatever actions, but remembering Ishvara? Can we really do that? If we can, well and good. We don't need to renounce anything at all. We can live like Janaka. But can we live like Janaka? What did Janaka do? Janaka went to Yajnavalkya. Janaka went to Yajnavalkya and learned. Janaka guided Shuka. Shuka Brahma Rishi was guided by Janaka. So such a Janaka, like, before pointing hands and telling that, oh, you can live like Janaka. We should remember how Janaka lived. Before pointing our hands on, oh, your father is also spiritual. Can't we live like that? We have to understand that my father married at the age of 36. My father was always spiritual. He used to speak about Ishvara. He used to give discourses in Bhagavad Gita when he was 30 years old. Can we expect that? Oh, I can also speak. Like, I'll just learn the 15th chapter of Gita. I can speak. Can we really speak with conviction? Can we stay alone? Can we go beyond all lokabandha unmoolanam? Can we do that? This very moment, if we have to drop off everything, can we do that? That is the question. If we cannot, then we have to stay away from the world. So a person who can live in the world and yet remember Ishvara, be focused on Ishvara, that is fine. There is nothing else to be done. But if we cannot do that, if we still have bondage, then our bondage towards Ishvara has to grow more. It has to surpass all other bondages. Loka Bandham, if Loka Bandham has to remain, then Ishvara Bandham has to be, or like, overgrow Loka Bandham. Else we won't be progressing in the spiritual path. There is no point of telling that, oh, it is my duty, this person said, that person said, all those will not help us at all. Let that person say, let him get bliss. We won't get. So if we want lokabandha unmoolanam, so that's Narada's words, it's not my word. You can directly take the meaning there. Lokabandha unmoolanam, bondage from the world, plucking off from the root, that means it shouldn't be there at all. So when Mahatmas and Jnanis like Balakrishna Nair tell that, oh, you just do normal activities and remember Ishvara, we just misuse it. We use it to our own good. We live a very blissful life. We live as if we are in Swarga. And we misuse the scriptural statements. And if we twist and misuse these scriptural statements, the scriptures are not going to come and complain. Balakrishna Nair is not going to complain. Who will complain? We will have to complain after a few years. After a few years of learning, we will find that we are not progressing at all. Nothing is happening. Then we will have to say, oh, this is not happening, oh, that is not happening, and we'll have to cry. So if that shouldn't happen, we have to reverse. Whatever we are doing today, we have to reverse. If we are spending 8 hours in the world, we have to spend an equal or more amount of time in spirituality. There is no shortcut, as Amma always says. There is no shortcut whatsoever. We have to reverse it. Without that, there is no gati at all. If we can remember, I can remember like while working in office for 8 hours that everything is Ishvara. If we can do that, then we will not be learning Bhakti Sutra. A person who can remember Ishvara everywhere, he is already realized. It is because we cannot do that, that's why we are learning the Shastras. So that itself means we should spend more and more time. If we don't find enough time for spiritual practices, dedicated time for remembering Ishvara, then we will not really benefit. Then what will happen? Mayam natarati. We will not overcome Maya. We will not be able to overcome Maya. So along with loka bandha unmoolanam yoga kshemam tyajati, such a person who renounces all the bondages, goes beyond the guna, such a person, like, he will not care about yogam and kshemam. So yogam means acquiring things, kshemam means maintaining. He doesn't have yogam and kshemam. Where is yogam? Where is kshemam? For such a person who has gone beyond gunas, who doesn't have any bondage with the world, who doesn't have worldly bondages. If there are worldly bondages, then we have to care about acquiring things, maintaining things, getting maintaining. We have to think about it. Getting money, maintaining it. We have to bother about it if we are attached to something. If we don't have any bondage, then we will not be overly worried about yogam and kshemam. So such a person, yoga kshemam tyajati. Such a person will renounce yogam, both yogam and kshemam. Because for him, everything is Ishvara. Whatever comes, he will accept it. He'll try to be in a solitary place, be alone in contemplation of Ishvara, get rid of worldly bondages as much as possible, stay away from the world as much as possible, go beyond the gunas by contemplating that there is only Ishvara here, and such a person will not have any worries about yogam or kshemam. Only such a person will realize. It's easy to say that, oh, everything is Ishvara, I'll just remember Ishvara, I'll remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. But when the real test comes, we'll not be able to remember Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So that is where problems will start. So we have to remember that we have to spend dedicated time initially. When we progress in the spiritual path, after that we can be in the world, we can. So even Amma's Brahmacharis and Brahmacharinis, they also, there is a Vedanta Vidyalayam, they learn there. They spend time in meditation, dhyanam and all those, they do that. They also spend dedicated time along with spending time with Amma or serving Amma's devotees. They also spend dedicated time. They are busy throughout the day, they are with Amma. Some people like Amrasurupananda and others, they are throughout with Amma. But even though they are throughout the day with Amma, still they find time for dhyanam, they find time for japam. Amrutsurupananda daily chants Lalita Sahasranama. How does he get the time? If we can get time for 1 hour chanting of Lalita Sahasranama, then it is really sad. It is pity. It's pitiable if we don't find more than that time, because we are not as busy as them, as busy as Amma's disciples who spend time trying to help, trying to take care, trying to be of service to Amma's devotees. So if they can find, we should also be able to find more time. So initially, it's not enough to just go on remembering, oh, everything is Ishvara, everything is Ishvara. That will not work. That will only work when things are going as per what we plan, things are going as per what we want. When things go, when the tide is against us, that is when everything will start, we'll get into confusion, we'll not know what to do, our life will become miserable. If that shouldn't happen, we should start spending dedicated time, dedicated effort for spiritual practices. Spirituality should also be as important as our job. Spirituality should be as important as sleep. Spirituality should have importance in par with the normal worldly activities that we do. If we do that, then such a person will be able to cross over Maya. So if we spend some time in pursuing spirituality, then we'll get the goal of eternal bliss. May Amma bless us so that we may be able to spend more and more time, more and more dedicated time for spirituality, so that we'll cross over Maya in this very birth itself. We'll continue in the next day. Namaskar.